Hannah Esther.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Oh, he's
Hello.
Not on yet. I'm going to get on mute. Good evening.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We are reading from section B of the Sulam Zohar commentary, section 64B, and so we're starting with Pasuk 374. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. Are there any questions before I start?
No.
Say again?
No.
Okay. L'shem Yichud Kutshav B'richu Ishkin Bei B'tchilu R'chimu R'chimu Udhilu Urchimu, Liachta, Lashem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, Biyehuda, Shalim, Bashem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Vayhi, Vayhi. La Sok, Ba Torah Mitzvah. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adonai Kunanei Aleinu Maasei Adonai Kunaneihu. Ve'il Ma'alei Degalei Kamei Kutsha Brichu. Dizminin Yisrael Lekaima Al Tura. Besinai Lekaima Ay Berit La Itkayem. Alma Rabbi Cheskia Amar Kol Man Diode Al Hatetech Ya Kutshabrichu Shavik Lea Umachel Al Choveya. Verse 374. Were it not for the fact that it was clear to the Holy One, blessed be He, that Israel would stand at Mount Sinai to keep the covenant, the world would not have survived the sin of eating of the tree of knowledge. Rabbi Hizkiah said that the Holy One, blessed be He, forgives and pardons the iniquities of he who confesses his sins. Hence, contrary to what Rabbi Abba said, it is because Adam confessed his sins and repented that the world survived, and he does not want to say that the reason is that it was clear to the Holy One, blessed be He, that Israel would stand at Mount Sinai. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I know one of the names of Hashem is He sees ahead and makes provision. And then I think, too, we see the power of Teshuvah.
Yes. do you think Rabbi Heskia disagrees with Rabbi Abba?
Well, he felt it was more the teshuva that Adam did. I think that's what.
Well, that's on a physical level, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the deeper level?
What you got on
Go ahead, Marianne.
One of them is basing it on man's actions, and the other is on Hashem. The one where Adam confessed his sin, so that's man's action. But Hashem brought us to HaSinai, so that was really Hashem's doing, no?
Well, it's really Hashem being a prophet, Hashem being able to see the future. So since he knew that man would accept, or the children of Israel would accept the Torah, he knew that would settle all of the mistake. And so there was no need for the heaven and earth to be uprooted.
Okay.
But your point is well taken, because you're talking about one is man's actions and one is the actions of Hashem.
It reminds me of where we say, like, the difference between, some people say, like, the world was created in the spring, and others say it was created in the fall, and there's a whole, like, duality always going on, the potential and the actual, right? Seems like maybe it's connected to that.
Yes, it is. It is. I was going to express it in the following way, because Rabbi Abba, his name being Abba meaning father, represents Chachma, the Sefirah of Chachma, which is wisdom. It represents the Sefirah outside of the frame of this lower seven, outside of the physical world. Whereas Rabbi Hiskia, his name means the strength of God, the strength of Yah. And we know strength is an attribute associated with Kiburah. So on one hand, you have a right column, Chachma, and on the other you have a left column, Kiburah. And so that's explaining. There are two different levels of consciousness. As Marianne said, one has to do with what God does, one has to do with what man does. One is potential, one is actual. But from the overall standpoint, how do they reconcile?
Which one was Abba? Which was the standpoint of Abba? Was he Adam, or he was not Harsinai?
Rabbi Abba was saying it was because Hashem saw that it was the children of Israel would stand at Mount Sinai.
Okay, and that's the Chachma. All right.
That's the Chachma. But how do you reconcile them? How do you unify them?
You have to have a third. You have to have a third way. Have the middle column.
Correct. But the central column is us. The central column is what we read and the questions that we asked to realize that one is higher, one is lower, one is the upper worlds, one is the lower worlds, one is potential, one is actual. These are all different metaphors. to help explain it. We're not going to we're not going to reconcile it. We're not going to be able to answer the question. But the fact that we've asked the question, or that we've contemplated these differences, helps us to achieve the unity in time. Verse 375, unless somebody wants to continue the discussion. Tachatse kad bara kudsha barichu alma avad hai berit bekaima aleya alma menalan dikti barashit da berit the alma kaima aleya shit demilai demine negidin venafke birkan li alma va aleya it berei alma be adam avar al hai berit via avad via avar leya meat reya. Come and see. When the Holy One, blessed be He, created the world, which is the secret of the Nukva, He made the covenant, which is Yesod of Zeranpin. He established the world upon it, as the Nukva receives her sustenance from Zeranpin. From where do we know that? From the word Bereshit, which is a combination of bara, meaning created, and sheet, Aramaic for the number six. Sheet is the covenant upon which the world exists. Sheet, six is the covenant upon which the world rests. The sheet, which stands for Yesod, is the place from where all blessings are drawn into the world. And by it, the world was created. Adam, by his sin of eating of the tree of knowledge, broke that covenant and removed it from its place. Hence, heaven and earth asked to be uprooted. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm just thinking, and I have no idea what you, this year, you talked about Yaakov's uprooted Reuven. No idea if there's a connection, but that's just what you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yesterday we had mentioned that Yaakov uprooted Reuven from the firstborn. He was uprooting the energy of the firstborn.
Right.
And here you have the same idea, that there was no need to uproot the energy, the essence of what is heaven and earth, because ultimately, when the process was complete, the 6 days would process into the Shabbat, the day of rest. So Hashem created the 6 days, and then he created the seventh day. But one of the important things to realize when in Bereshit, in the Genesis, it says that Hashem ceased his work on the seventh day. But he didn't really rest completely. It was only after he completed his work on Shabbat that he rested. Most people just think that God rested on the seventh day, but he had to create it first.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry?
What did he create on the Sabbath?
He created the Sabbath itself.
And I read somewhere where that was when the Oral Torah was created, was on the seventh day.
That's also true, because the Oral Torah is Malchut, and Shabbat is Malchut. They're the manifestations, the energy of manifestation. They have no light of their own. They have to receive their light from the written Torah, and they have to receive their light from the 6 days of the week. The work that we do in the 6 days of the week is what we essentially receive the rest from, be able to stop our rest. We're not talking about how we perceive things from the physical level, but what the spiritual essences are teaching us. He created the Yesod of Zeranpin. The Yesod of Zeranpin is a funnel where everything that comes from above, sustenance, light, health, goodness, gets funneled or channeled into the Malchut, the physical world. And the prayers that are requested and the sacrifices that are done to balance the physical world, all of those rise up through the funnel, through Yesod. But the translation of the word Yesod is foundation. The foundation of the world. What does the foundation mean? The foundation of the world is its structure. In the human body, it's the bones. It's the spine is the foundation of the human body. We always stress, or when you first learn, you stress so that the Yesod is your sexuality. But that's really an effect of creation, of creativity. And that's even an effect of this foundation concept. Because if you don't have a foundation, then all of the thoughts of creativity, what are you building on? These are all of what's being revealed in this pasuk. Should I go on, or do you still have questions about this?
You can go on.
Verse 376. Hai berit et remizat ve'ayod et zehera ikara Visoda di alma kadolit baro de al heto vakara shemeya shit vila adkar deya yud lemecheve shit begin ya varaleya ugin kas Good Shabarifu, Mineya Inchtil, Alma Vit Yahasu, called Ara Zaka, the Alma. This covenant is symbolized by the smallest letter, which is Yud, which is the essence and the foundation of the world. Based on it, the world was structured. And when Adam bore a son, he confessed his sin and called himself and did not include the letter Yud in his name. If his name had included Yud, it would have been sheet, because Adam broke the covenant, as was said earlier. They, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. He named his son Seth, spelled without the yud, thereby confessing to his sin. Because he confessed his sin, the Holy One, blessed be he, populated the world from him, and he was made forefather to all the generations of righteous people in the world. Thus, because of his confession of his sin, the Holy One, blessed be he, forgave him, and the world survived. Questions, comments, thoughts? Is it that overwhelming? It's okay if it is.
It is and it isn't.
The verse is very clear, as mm-hmm. it is written. And yet we're always looking for that deeper level. And I think the important words in this verse is right at the beginning. The yud is the essence of the world. The yud is the foundation of the world. So what is the essence of the yud that we can say it becomes the essence of the world?
Well, I know it's in every letter, and that's what I was pondering, that even Seth's name would still have the tip of each letter with a yud.
When the Torah is written, the scribe, before he starts a letter, he puts a dot representing the yud. And so that's what you're referring to, that it's in each letter. And it is. But he still left it out of the name for Seth.
Right.
And that action, Hashem interpreted, not really interpreted, because Hashem knows people's consciousness, that action was his confession. That's an overwhelming thought.
So then Hashem took the yud and made the world with it, like you said?
It doesn't say that. It says that the yud is the foundation of the world. Yud is the essence. It says both words.
The yud corresponds to Chachma, where it says, "V'kulam Chachma Asisa."
Yes, the yud corresponds to Chachma, to wisdom.
He created everything with Chachma.
Correct. He created everything with wisdom, with Chachma.
And don't they say that the yud corresponds to the future world? And this world corresponds to the hay?
Well, no, it says that the lower hay corresponds to the to this world, and the upper hay to the future world.
Uh-huh.
And both worlds will become unified when we realize, when wisdom is actually spread throughout the world. What is wisdom? It's a very esoteric concept. But the yud is the smallest letter. And we always refer to the smallest the letter being Yud, the smallest letter, as the humblest letter. Moses was the most humble of men. But who wrote that? Well, Hashem dictated it to Moses, and according to the Midrash, Moses really didn't want to write it, but God said, no, you do that. But is being humble an aspect of wisdom?
Well, because in the Hebrew word for it is chachma, so we have the ma is like we don't know what it is. Something beyond us, no?
Well, in the Zohar, the word ma, which has a gematria of 45, is Zerantin. Whereas the word me, meaning who, is the translation, is the world of Bina, the upper world, outside of this lower Sephirot. So the word, the idea of ma, what, is the world of Zerantin, the world of the Vav. But we're referring to the Yud, which is the essence of the Yud is Chachma. But I'm asking, is an effect of wisdom, is humble an effect of wisdom? Now, I'm not talking about the false humbleness of somebody that appears that they're lower than other people. Humbleness in Torah means you know where your spiritual level is. Where do you appear in the hierarchy of human beings? That's the meaning of being humble. If you're a leader, you're going to lead. And if you're not a leader, you may make suggestions to the leader that he might not have thought of, but you're going to act, you're going to listen to what the leader says and follow his lead. This is humbleness. This is knowing where you are within the hierarchy of human beings.
So why did Moshe not feel his position? And did he feel it once Hashem told him what it was?
If you think back over what the Torah says about Moshe, he's constantly saying, I'm not worthy. At the burning bush, he's arguing with Hashem that he's not the one to bring the redemption. And it always talks about in any conflict, whenever anybody brought an issue to him, or not really challenged his authority, but questioned him, he fell on his face. He and Aaron fell on their face. Now, it's an idiom, falling on the face, but you have to contemplate what that idiom actually means. What does it mean to fall on your face? It means, I don't know the answer. It means, I'm contemplating, I'm going into meditation to talk to Hashem to learn what the answer is, because I don't know. And that was Moses' consciousness all the time. He may know, but he doesn't know. He wants to confirm what he knows with his conversation with Hashem.
But in regard to this particular verse, is Adam not telling himself or reminding himself that because of what he had done, that he had affected the foundation of the world, and because of that, you know, the scripture that says, my sin is always before me. It was a reminder to him as well as a reminder to the rest of the generations, all of us, that in doing so, he left out Yod in Seth's name. And I do think as a part of it would symbolize that he himself was being humbled at that point. And that was how he was able to do teshuva.
That is correct. Because can you do teshuva if you're not humble?
No, you it humbles you to do teshuva.
Another way of thinking about of being humble is that you separate from the ego. You don't let the ego become puffed up. Which is what we've been talking about with Passover. The puffed up ego, that's what chametz is. The raising of the bread and the cakes. And that's why matzah limits. It's the same material that creates chametz, creates matzah. It's wheat and water. It's exactly the same thing, except we apply the heat for a longer period than the 18 minutes that we apply to it for the matzah. Why? To allow it to rise, to allow it to become puffed up. But teshuvah removes that puffed up consciousness. It brings you back to where you are rightfully. Where is your position in the hierarchy of man? This verse is very powerful and takes a lot of contemplation. And the power is in realizing that I'm not powerful. Only Hashem is powerful. And that is the wisdom of the Yud. Any other questions? You all have a beautiful evening.
Next class
is in about 2 hours, where we will continue our preparation for the Seder, learning more about the Seder. And then tomorrow morning we will take control of the month of Kislev, the 9th day. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.